Hello, everybody, and welcome in for another episode of Vol Club Confidential, sponsored by the great people at Knoxville Smiles. I'm your host, Austin Price. Tonight on the show, we have Dante Thornton, Tennessee's star-making, big play-making wide receiver. But before we get to Dante, we bring in Will Crockett of the Volunteer Club. And Will, Tennessee back on the road this coming weekend after the bye week at Arkansas. Location still not known as of now, but be on the lookout for those Orange and Nut members, right?
Yep. So after the big tailgate this past weekend, we had like 500, I think, plus people there in Norman. We're going to try to up that for this next road game. So we don't know the location just yet. We just kind of found out the time of the game. So we're going to be a little flexible there. But, yeah, we're excited to do it again.
Then coming up for the Florida and Alabama games, you got that barge that's going to be you've had to go through 400 different permits. Yeah. You got the Navy,
the Coast Guard,
whatever. It's either way, it's impressive.
Yeah. So Barge Fest is the name of this one. So it's going to run about a 10-day span between Florida and Bama. So we're going to have multiple concerts, including Nico Moon on Friday night prior to the Florida game. We're going to have some tailgates for Florida and Alabama. We're going to have a VFL event with Joey Kent, Al Wilson, the Friday night before Alabama, and Home Run Derby, as we talked about last week, with our baseball team.
And I believe some country music stars are coming to this thing.
Yeah, so we're working through some details. Don't have them finalized just yet, but the goal is Monday and Tuesday night of Alabama week as well. There will be one or two more concerts.
It's fantastic. And make sure you get hooked up by the Volunteer Club. Contact everybody either on the app or on the website.
Website, app, however you can get to us. If you want to come to an event, want to buy merchandise, anything like that, you can find us. We always want to be there to help how we can.
They're there for you. Also there for you, the great people at Knoxville Smiles, especially if you're in the Knoxville market.
Knoxville Smiles, depend on us to make your smile better. Knoxville Smiles, are you happy with your smile today? Knoxville Smiles, we're all about smiles.
Hey Lance, what makes you smile?
Pancake blocks.
How are you doing?
What's up, man? How are you doing?
I'm great, man.
Doing well with you.
Dante, man, you've been off to a heck of a start to this season. Now, kind of take me through just kind of the comfort level, year two in the offense, being back outside, and just how you feel like it's going so far.
Well, I feel like this season's been going great for me, really. I feel like the whole offseason has helped me out a lot, even with going through the injury and things like that. It helped me, like, one, learn the playbook, and then, two, learn what I really need to do to, like, make myself a better athlete and just be better on and off the field. So I feel like that time I had off with my injury and then with – the whole getting back together and start doing things in the winter, then spring ball, I felt like I had a great spring. Then coming in the fall, I had a great fall. So I felt like everything was just stacking on top of each other, making it better for me.
You look bigger. How much muscle have you put on? Cause, I mean, maybe I'm just crazy, but I mean, like, it feels like you're 10, 15 pounds heavier than you were a year ago in a good way.
Yeah, I say it. So the craziest thing is over the summer, I put on a lot of weight. I got up to like 218 in the summer. And then I end up cutting that weight back down to like 208, and I feel like that's where some of that muscle may have come from. But, yeah, I definitely say I've gained a lot more weight from last year.
What were you when you got to college at Oregon?
When I got to college, I was like 198. Yeah, like 198.
That's not drastic.
Yeah, not
but drastic, maybe just more muscle.
Definitely.
How has your game evolved? I mean, you go back to when you got to Oregon, even to when you got here and into now. Is that three different places?
Oh, yeah, I definitely say it's three different places for sure. And I feel like the biggest difference from it all would be, like, my mental game. Like, when I first got to college, of course, it's me learning the speed of the game and how things are supposed to go. And, like, I was getting playing time my freshman year, my sophomore year. Then coming here for the second part of that, it was another change. Like, yeah, I knew the speed of the game, but, like, the speed of Tennessee's offense was way faster than any offense I've ever been in. So trying to learn that and then had the injury. So it slowed me down a little bit, but it helped me learn the playbook, which helped me when I came back. I was able to speed the whole process up for myself in terms of knowing what to do on and off the field. So I feel like this has been like the best I've played ball my whole college career.
Is it just more comfortable? I mean, is it more confidence? Like, what is it?
I say a combination of both. Like, I'm definitely more comfortable playing in the offense now, and especially with me being outside, and that's what I played my entire life. It's a lot easier to be able to go out there and play ball while knowing how to maneuver in and out. Yeah, it's really good.
you can correct me if I'm wrong, but like I never felt like you were real comfortable inside.
No, I mean,
you talk about the maneuvering. Like you have to maneuver differently in the slot.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And like the moment they took you back outside, it was like boom, nice game of Kentucky. Obviously the big catch and you get hurt at Missouri. Yeah. So it was like, oh, he's just starting to kind of find his footing and you got hurt. Is that accurate from a standpoint of understanding how to move in the inside?
Yeah, I definitely say it's different now, especially for like playing a slot in this offense. You got to know how to move across the middle of the field. Me being a bigger body, it's easier for people to get their hands on me. So I feel like with me being on the outside and how wide our splits are, it make it easier for me to play in my one-on-one matchup out there.
Let's go back to the touchdown catch against Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Is that the best throw you've seen Nico throw? Because, I mean, like, you did not break stride, and you snagged that thing, and it was a missile.
I definitely say it's one of the best throws Nico has thrown to me, but I feel like the best throw that I've seen Nico throw was to Chris against Kent State on the
53-yard bomb.
Yeah. I feel that was one of the best ones. Like, he threw him a bomb, and, like, Chris never broke stride the whole run. So, yeah, I feel like that was probably the best ball I've seen Nico throw.
When did you know that you were definitely getting to the house call? I mean, as soon as you caught it?
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. Once I caught it, yeah, I definitely felt like that.
Like, when you have those type of big plays, are you know, you go back to, like, Devin Hester in the Super Bowl when he runs the kickoff back against the Colts, and he's watching himself on the Jumbotron. Like, when you're running, are you just kind of like, I'm just trying to find the end zone?
Oh,
or
nah.
are you taking it in when you're running?
If you look at the video, I kept looking back. I don't never think to look at a Jumbotron. I just always look back while I run. So I turned my head like two or three times. Then once I seen I was close to the end zone, I just kept running.
Yeah, you had another big catch that got called back. Andre Kirik, way to go, Andre.
Man, it's crazy.
That was crazy, too. It happens. But that was a nice broken play. Like, I mean, you kind of kept moving without it, and Nico made a nice
scramble rules.
Yeah, no doubt about it. What do you like about this wide receiver room?
I feel like we probably have one of the top receiver rooms in the country right now. And that being said, like, we have a bunch of guys that are all different ages. You have me and Brew as the older guys in the room. Then you got, like, Chris Squirrel, Caleb Chaz. They're, like, the sophomore, junior guys in the room. And then we got younger guys like Mike Braylon. I feel like we have, like, a wide range of great receivers in the room. And, like, the age don't mean nothing in there.
Do you guys – because it's real easy, for it to have expectations – you know, I think you had expectations a year ago, maybe didn't go like you wanted, now it's starting to, right? Bruce, same thing. You know, when we first got here, Sed was here, and Jalen. Mm-hmm. Do you ever, as an older guy now, be able to look at a guy like Chris Brazel, who maybe, you know, it isn't happening as fast for him as maybe he thought, you know, or even a young guy like Mike Matthews and go, it takes time, it'll be okay, you got to be patient.
Yeah. Now, I definitely talk to those guys about that a lot. I always talk about how my path was and, like, my whole college career. I always tell them, like, yeah, I know you got plans for yourself, and more specifically with Chris. Like, it's his third year. He had one or two big seasons last, like, the past few years in him. I know he probably got in his mind, like, I know it's my third year. I can go have a great year, and I can go to the league. I would tell him, like, yeah, man, you can go to the league out this year, but you just got to worry about you being in the moment, because if everything goes planned now, you ain't got to worry about nothing. So I just try to tell him, like, yeah, you can have those goals and set everything you want for yourself and all those expectations, but at the end of the day, just be where your feet are and just make the best of every experience you can get out there.
What do you like about this room? Just feels like it's got depth, but it's got versatility. Like, there are small guys that can run. There are big guys that maybe aren't as fast. There are a guy like you who is big and fast. You got Brazel, who seems like he could just go out and high point anything.
Man.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, Mike, you know, has his thing. Staley's coming along. And then you got Chaz and Caleb sure don't want to be forgotten about. They played at the end of last year, and they're still trying to make sure they're on the field. So, I mean, it feels like you have versatility.
Yeah. I definitely say we have a lot of versatility in the room. Like, I feel like with any receiver in that room, we run, like, a three wide most times. You could put any one of us outside slot, and there will be, like, no drop-off at all. So I feel like that's the best point because, like, if teams want a game plan for us, it's going to be really tricky for them to game plan because, one, you don't know who's going to be in the game. Two, you don't know where we're going to be at. So it's like you're just trying to think about what it's going to be. And we could easily change it up on the fly, and they'd be like, nothing changed.
How has Kelsey Pope changed since you got here? Like, you know, I mean, how has he continued to evolve as a coach?
I'd say Coach Pope was a great coach. And I feel like the thing that I've seen change about him the most was basically realizing that everything doesn't go perfect with the room, but, like, as long as you keep embracing that whole entire room, everything will start to work out. As long as you set a standard and a path for us, we're going to follow behind it. So I feel like that's been the biggest change I've seen from him.
when you look at, you know, kind of you off the field since you've been here, you came out and did the show. I think you're the first person that's ever been here twice as an individual. We've had tandems like Darnell Wright and Cooper did a show, then Cooper come did his own show. Mm-hmm. I think you're the first person that's ever done their own show twice. But the first time we had you out here, you had not played a game. You were in the spring of the, you know, you just arrived a month or two, you know, prior. Mm-hmm. What have you found out about Knoxville since you've been here?
I said that the fans are crazy. Like, no matter what is going on, how the season's going, the fans gonna always support us, and that's one of the things I love about being in Tennessee. I know every game is gonna be a packed out, sold out game, and no matter how things going, they gonna always support us. Like, every times where I'm just out random doing something, and somebody might pull up beside me, tap me, say hello, want to take a picture, sign something for them. So I just like the fact that they're very supportive here.
And you're a celebrity here.
Nah, I wouldn't say that.
Of course you are. What's the favorite part of Knoxville?
Favorite part? So I live right by the river. So I say just like being able, I can see the river, and then I can see the stadium right from my apartment. So I just say like how beautiful it is here.
Favorite time of year to see the stadium with the river?
I would say like during baseball season, because like right after the championship, they did a bunch of fireworks and stuff like that, and you can see all that from my house. So
I think an underrated time, in my opinion, is the winter time, just because you get cold morning, you get a little fog on the river.
Every morning, yeah. I ain't thinking about that, for sure.
It's kind of neat, right? Like, I mean, because you can kind of see Thompson Bowling or Food City Center and Neyland kind of through the fog, through the mist or whatever you want to call it, and, you know, but you can't see it, right?
Exactly.
Like, you see the structure.
Definitely, I definitely agree with that.
What's it been like playing at Neyland?
It's been crazy. Like first game of the season, I scored my first touchdown. That was, like, probably one of the – I'd say for my whole college career, it's probably one of my craziest touchdowns just from when I scored. Well, my family was here, so my dad, my younger brother was here, so that was good for me. And then just the moment I scored, like, the whole stadium just blew up. And then I came back and did it again, and it was the same exact way. So I feel like it's just, like, it's amazing playing there just seeing how much people care about the team.
You a big run-through-the-tee guy or volleyball guy?
I'd say a combination of both. I like the volleyball because it's like you get to see all the people there. But the run through the tee is like when I run through the tee, I instantly like lock in for the game. And like it's helped me center into the game for real. So I say a combination of both for sure.
Sometimes it's hard on the volleyball because you see family and, you know.
Bunch of people. It'd be like maybe like 60,000 plus people out there just standing there watching us walk through. It'd be crazy.
Does that kind of get the electricity kind of like, does that, can you feel it kind of flow?
Oh, yeah, you definitely can. Like, from the moment we pull up, I forgot what the street is called.
On the bus. Yeah, Peyton Manning Pass.
Right when we pull up right there, you just see it. All the people start running up to where the bus is at, and then everybody just start going crazy. It's the moment we step off the bus.
Do you take that in, or are you looking around at that point?
Oh, yeah. It'd be funny.
Some people have their headphones in, they're just kind of head down, or are you kind of looking around?
Oh, no, I do both. Like, I have my headphones on, but I have one ear open. And it's always funny to me because I always walk out, like, right before Nico walk out. So when I walk out, then everybody just get even louder because Nico right behind me. So, yeah, I definitely say I take it in a lot.
What's the favorite jersey?
Well, my favorite jersey now is the new Smokies that we had.
You like those?
Yeah.
Over the black?
The black were my favorite until first game of the season. But now I like the Smokies.
Do you want them to bring back the orange helmets, which is
something? Yes, I do.
You do?
With the white tee on them?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
And they're 0-1. So the fans are a little like, eh.
Yeah, that's the only reason.
So it's important to get them in a game you know you're going to win.
For sure.
And then wash all the bad off of that one loss.
I believe that.
So you're like the orange helmet, orange pants and white top, or white with the orange helmet?
Yeah, white with the orange helmet.
White with an orange helmet.
Orange pants with an orange helmet would look good, too, with a white jersey.
What about, are you a big black cleat guy? I mean, you had the black cleats on at Oklahoma.
Yeah. I've grown to be a black cleats guy for sure. Like, I'm cool with it now. At first, I just think it was, like, very basic, but at the end of the day, we still just playing ball.
Oh, yeah. Well, all of it's just playing ball. It's just, you know,
yeah,
a little extra.
But, yeah, I say I'm cool with the black cleats now for sure.
What makes you smile?
I'm breathing. So, like, every day I wake up, I know it's an opportunity for me to get better each day. So, that's a reason for me to smile.
He's always smiling then. And speaking of smiles, more on Knoxville Smiles.
I'm Tennessee basketball player J.P. Estrella. Let me give you a tour here of the offices at Knoxville Smiles. Dr. Costa is placing implants with a robot, and it's all done digitally. There's no guessing with this since it's all robotic. Dr. Wilco is the newest addition to the office. He loves to research the latest and greatest in technology, so the other doctors go to him for the newest product information and techniques. Dr. Malone is building teeth in the mouth. To him, cosmetic bonding is more like artwork. He does this without cutting your teeth down. It's all about building them up.
Guys, we still have a problem. Do y'all have a bigger chair?
Four and oh coming out of the bye week.
Yeah.
How jacked are you, is this team just to kind of, you know, it's almost in thirds, right? Even though it's kind of like four bye week, three bye week, and then five to close. Mm-hmm. But to kind of hit that first third perfect, just like you all had hoped, how much energy does that give you all going into a road game this weekend at Arkansas?
I feel like it's giving us a lot of like confidence, really. Like, I feel like my whole college career, I always felt like I was on a team that had a chance to be a national championship contender. But I really feel like that with this team. And you see it week in and week out. Like, everybody always in the building. Every Sunday, we back in the building again. People in there watching film, getting extra work in, doing rehab. So I feel like this team as a whole has been, like, very invested in being successful and dominant on the field. And as you see for these first four games, they've showed it a lot.
You speak about rehab.
Yeah.
You spent a lot of time with Brew during rehab.
Definitely.
How close did you guys get?
I said, like, that helped me and Bruce's relationship a lot. Like, with us both having similar injuries and being in there around the same time span, that helped us grow closer. Because with me getting moved to outside now, has to learn that side of the playbook. And with me and Bruce always being there, that was another portion that we could get to know each other. And he helped me learn the offense a lot. So I say, just from that time frame and then to now, like, I lean on Bruce for everything, and he does the same for me. Like, we having a bad day before practice, we both shake our hand, we say prayers together. We always encourage each other day in and day out, no matter if it's game day, practice, or anything. So I say, like, the injuries helped us grow a lot.
What kind of critique are we giving Brew for his performance on the Morgan Wallen walkout last night?
Hey, I like it, man. That was cool.
He had the Letterman's jacket on.
Yeah. I like it a lot.
I thought he looked, what did you think of Peyton in this jersey?
It threw me off. He looked very stressed when he took the helmet off at the end. I don't know. He might be the one put it on.
I thought one of the more underrated parts of the video is like when he's back there and he's like warming the arm up and he puts the helmet on, and I'm like, it's like going through the whole routine.
It threw me off that he had the old face mask like he usually wears.
That's what he used to wear.
Yeah.
I thought that was fantastic.
Definitely.
The kind of, it was like, you're like, oh, I wish I was there for that.
It would have been crazy. I seen it. And like another thing, like where I live at, they kept letting fireworks off during the concert, so I see that the whole time.
Yeah, there was a lot of fireworks there at the end.
Definitely.
Music-wise, what are we listening to? Who's dictating, like you know, you had the music playing the other night at Oklahoma in the locker room. Whose playlist was that, and what's your playlist look like?
So, preseason, like before, like actually on media day, they had like each player send in five songs from whatever the artists are, but each player sends five songs, and they make one big playlist, and then they just play that in the locker room and just shuffle it through the songs. But I say for me, I don't know. Like, I listen to a lot of different things. Like, on game day, it all depends on how I'm feeling. But, like, before the game, I always listen to, like, a lot of rowdy music. So, like, it depends. It might be NBA Youngboy. It might be Baby Keir or something like that. But I also, like, right before the game, I, like, meditate a lot. And I listen to a song called The Sunflower Maze. And, like, that really just, like, listening to that puts you in a mindset of basically – you're about to go through a maze, and right before you get to the entrance of the maze, you're walking up and you see a little kid and you don't know who it is, but once you get close to him, you recognize that it's the younger version of you. And basically, he asks you, do you want to play a game? And throughout it, it says yes. And you'll lean down, he put on a blindfold for you, and then you hold his hand and he walk you through the maze. And basically, it's like, for me, what that does for me is basically that helps me get back in that mind frame. When I first started playing football, I played football to have fun and just to enjoy the game. So I felt like as I've been in college, the game has gotten harder, not from just the actual game itself, but from coaches and all the things in and out that, like, have an impact on you playing football. But at the end of the day, you're just playing football. So I use that as a way to center myself with every game.
Do you have anything, like, that's besides music, that's a tradition? Like, I mean, do you have any kind of, like, pregame rituals, Anything you do every game?
Yeah, just meditating, really.
So that's it?
Yeah, I meditate and then tape my fingers.
Any kind of particular tape, any particular way? Do you do it counterclockwise, clockwise?
Tape these three fingers, two up top, two down bottom, on both hands. Yeah, about that.
And that's why you snagged that thing at Oklahoma.
Definitely why.
Took off running.
That's why, for sure.
Now, once you got to the end zone, like, what's going through your mind at that point? Because, I mean, like, you started catching – the way I look at it is, like, you know, more like if you're a receiver and you're good, like, you're going to catch touchdowns at home.
Yeah.
But you start, you know, checking off a few cool stadiums, right? And all of a sudden it's like, okay, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you go down to, you know, Georgia later in the year and you catch a touchdown. Like, it just means a little bit more, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, I feel like it depends on who we're playing, like, what has been said or whatever going up into that game. Like, for the Oklahoma game, for me, I said I walked up to Coach Hype, like, the day before the game, like, whatever happened in this game is for you. And then when I scored my touchdown, I was really excited, and I ran to the sideline, and everybody was, like, trying to celebrate with me. But I was really just, like, brushing everybody else, trying to find Coach Hype. And then I walked up to him, I said the same thing to him. He said, thank you. And then it just felt good to me because I felt like I made him proud in that moment.
What's the best moment on the sideline? Like, and it can be off the cuff. Like, it can be in a blowout mm-hmm. when you guys are just over there hanging out. Like, give me a good story from the sideline of, you know, you all just either cutting up or just a good team moment.
I say the best moment probably was Mike first touchdown or Jordan Russ when he got the block punt and scored on it. Because, like, on both of those plays, the whole sideline went crazy. Like, Mike scored and didn't come back to the receiver bench for, like, 5 minutes because everybody over there congratulating him and things like that. And then with Jordan, you've seen the entire defensive line run on the field, helmets off and everything. So, like, everybody always excited for young guys when they make plays.
How close is the offense and defense?
I say this year we've, like, been a lot closer than we have been in past years. And that's more because, like, we always together, we always putting the work in. Like they say, iron sharpens iron. So when we see a defense playing good, we feel like we got to do whatever we can to play just as great on the offense because we know they got our back, so we got to have that back. So I feel like with how hard both sides of the ball has been working off season and in season, it's like it just automatically made us grow closer to each other, both sides of the ball.
From Baltimore, big Ravens fan?
Sadly, I'm not a Ravens fan. I'm a Texans fan.
A Texans fan?
Yeah.
Where does that come from?
I was like 11. I was playing Madden, I think Madden 25 before this Madden 25. It was a long time ago. And I played with the Texans. And like every time I played with them, I would win. That's when they had Arian Foster, D-Hop, and all those guys. So that's when that became my favorite team.
That's interesting. Give me your Mount Rushmore of Texans players.
D-Hop, let me see, J.J. Watt. I'm going to put C.J. up there.
Okay.
And then I'm thinking about running back. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know for that
one. Andre Johnson?
Yeah.
Arian Foster? I mean, yeah. I was
stuck between those two, but I just say Arian Foster because I already had a receiver on there.
Yeah, Makes sense.
Yeah.
And he went to Tennessee.
Dang. He did. That's crazy. I always tell people my favorite team, the Texans, and they always ask me about that, and I never knew that until I got here. It's crazy.
All right. Favorite moment of the show for me every week is having somebody call this person they can count on. Who we calling? Who do you know will answer the phone when you call? Who can you count on no matter what time of day? If you call them, they're answering.
I call my dog Bees.
Where's this guy from?
Back home with high school. My best friend, my manager.
Let's see if here answers. We go. Is Bees going to answer?
I'm counting on you, Bees.
We're perfect if he doesn't answer you first.
Man. It's tricky.
Actually, we're not. Vitello had to have the second call.
Bees. Who answer? I'm ready to text him.
All right, I'm going to give you a lifeline here. You get a second chance. It can't be Bees, though. You got to call somebody else. The girlfriend's over here, so she can't be called.
I was about to do that.
She's in the room with us.
All right, let me see. All right, now this one got to answer the phone for me. Actually,
that.
I figure you just call Pope. I mean, doesn't he have to answer the phone if you call?
Maybe. Now, if this person don't answer, I don't know what to say.
Who is this?
My uncle, Fats. If he don't answer, hello? What's up? Nothing, chilling. You good?
Did I call you?
No, I called you. Yeah, I'm good. What's up? Nah, I'm doing this little podcast.
Yeah. Man. Fats, we put you on the spot. He wanted to see if you'd answer. He said you would answer. You did. Good job.
Oh, man, yeah, I'm going to answer because I look, every call.
You on a podcast?
Nah, I'm not.
Look. Yes, you is.
Why you ask me then?
Look, don't. How's it going?
It's going good.
When it air?
Next Monday, which will be.
Next Monday?
Yeah.
How y'all feel about his performance so far?
He's been doing well, hadn't he? Catching everything thrown his way.
Yeah, I mean, how you feel? I think a little bit more should come now.
Well, we got to get him out there more.
Yeah, we will see. But I'll hit you later.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I should call him first. I already know you're going to answer, though. That's my dog.
This Bees guy. If he calls back.
I ain't going to lie. Bees probably just got off work, though. So I'm going to give him a break with that one.
All right. We're giving him a break.
Yeah, I give Bees a break. For sure.
If Fats had an answer, though.
Oh, now, if Fats had an answer, something might have been wrong. I ain't going to lie. I can call him at 5 o'clock in the morning. He's going to answer the phone. So, yeah, for sure.
You a big seafood guy?
Not really. Nah.
Even though you're from Baltimore.
Yeah. Actually, growing up, I was allergic to it. Like, I grew out of the allergy for it, but yeah.
What's your favorite place in Baltimore to go?
Man, this is throwing me off. This is the person I really should have called the first time that's calling me right now, but I'll wait to answer that. But my favorite place to go? I don't know. I don't go home a lot since I've been in college. So I say, like, to see my grandmother. Or just seeing my family.
How much you talk to grandma?
I talk to her every week. Probably almost every other day of the week.
What have you talked to her since the Oklahoma game?
I did.
What'd she say?
She was happy as I don't know what. Because, like, of course, it's my grandmother. So she always stay up late to watch the games and things like that. And if she missed the game, she'll instantly go to YouTube and watch the full game out.
Yeah.
And then she always call me right after. So she always tell me how proud she is of me. How happy she is to be able to watch me.
She ever give you critiques?
Critiques?
Yeah.
The one thing I appreciate my grandmother for that she always do every time she's talking to me is like, we always pray on the phone. And then she always tell me, like, at the end of the day, remember that you're going out there to play football and have fun. Like, catch the ball, run as fast as you can, have fun. Like, we always end the phone call like that. That's the last thing she always says to me, just to have fun, end of the day.
Have fun, which goes back to the meditating.
Exactly.
Just playing like you did when you were 9, 10 years old.
Mm hmm.
What did you play back then? Were you a receiver back then?
So when I first started playing when I was 4, and I played running back and middle linebacker. And then after that, I transitioned to playing quarterback. I played quarterback for like 4 or 5 years, and then I had a growth spurt and went to a team who had a quarterback, so I started playing receiver from there. So I started playing receiver when I was like 10, I think, 10 or 11. I've been playing receiver ever since.
You bring up playing defense. Who's the one guy you don't want to meet on your own team, like in practice?
There's a lot of them. Arion Carter. I met him. Don't want to do it again. Kenan Peely. Nope. Jeremiah Tealander. Not at all. Yeah, that's about it, really. And not everybody on D-line, for sure. Like, I would not want to cross paths with Big E.
What about Jacoby Thomas? I mean, it felt like he's just like if he's getting 20 snaps a game, he's trying to lay waste to somebody 18 of them.
He's crazy. He has no regard for his body when he plays football. No, I'm so serious. Like, if you look at every big hit he has, he always try to kill people, and I hate to be on the opposite side of that. Like, when he hit number 2 for Oklahoma, he hit him so hard that he skipped and bounced and hit the coach's little iPad table and everything. I felt bad for him.
The iPads went everywhere?
Nah, they didn't go everywhere, but he didn't get up right away.
No, he didn't get up right away. I felt bad for him.
But yeah, nah, Jacoby too, but as long as I keep running, I'll be cool. I ain't got to worry about that one. Yeah, that's bad.
there's a recruit in next year's class. Jaden Harmon, he's a linebacker, and his coach says that he erases people. That's what it feels like Arion does, too. I mean, he hit two or three guys last Saturday, and you were like, geez.
I remember he hit me in practice.
That's bad. You said, I'm your teammate, man.
It's crazy because he didn't even see me coming. I went to block him, and he still hit me. But nothing I could do.
Who's the one player on this team that people don't see right now that a year from now they'll see? And let's take wide receiver off the board because you're around all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Who catches your eye that maybe people don't see playing right now that you're like, a year from now, that guy's going to be a player. Like, you know, people start talking about mm-hmm. Jason Jenkins a year ago.
Yeah. Idris Farouk, safety.
Another guy that likes to hit.
Yeah. He's going to be good. Like, he's good now, but, like, with a year under his belt and everything like that and having – getting more playing time, he's going to show a lot of people and shock a lot of people for sure.
How close are you all to each other as far as – like, I mean, he's from the same area.
Yeah, he's from the same area as me. So, I say we're definitely close for sure. Like, he played with one of my younger cousins and things like that. So, yeah.
But, I mean, like, how close do, like, the y'all – the families live?
Oh, probably, like, 20 minutes from each other. Probably.
Not too far.
Yeah, not too far.
Wonder if he eats seafood.
I wouldn't know.
Then you got James Pierce, who was a – what is it? He was, I don't know if – I think he actually started eating red meat.
But, yeah, he was like a pescatarian.
Yeah, just fish only.
Yeah, he's pescatarian for sure.
The opposite of you.
Yeah.
Are you a steak – are you a meat and potatoes guy? What are we liking food-wise? I mean
– I'm a chicken guy.
Are you?
Chicken tenders, chicken nuggets, chicken wings.
Buffalo sauce. Barbecue sometimes. Sauce.
Barbecue, for sure. Honey mustard.
What's your go-to? If we're leaving here and going to get food, where are we going to get chicken?
Right now, I'm going to say Wingstop.
I'm with you there. Now, their fries are fantastic, but they're heavy. Now that you,
I'm not a fry guy from there.
Where do you like fries from?
McDonald's.
McDonald's.
Yeah, for sure. I'm still a McDonald's guy at heart.
McDonald's.
Sure.
When's the last time you had McDonald's?
I don't know. Probably like a week ago, maybe. But last time I had Wingstop, last night.
Yeah. Now, are you going boneless, bone-in? What are we doing here?
I get 15-piece bone-in hot honey dry rub with 10 pieces of corn, Cajun corn.
10 pieces of corn?
Yeah.
How big is this corn?
They're not that big. If you take like a regular size corn on the cob and cut it in into like halves or three.
So you're eating 5 pieces of corn.
Indeed.
And 15 wings.
Yep.
No wonder you're putting weight on.
Hey, man. I got to eat, man.
When you go to the nutritionist, what is your go-to in there?
A vanilla Gatorade shake. I get 2 strawberry Uncrustables and then a pack of Ritz crackers. Why Ritz? I don't know. Or sunflower seeds.
Just Ritz crackers. No peanut butter on
them. No peanut butter. Just Ritz crackers.
I love Ritz crackers, too. My dog Max loves Ritz crackers. In fact, when he sees me pop them out, he's like, oh. And he's like, some flies over there.
Dang, I need to try that.
He loves, what, give it to your dog?
Yeah. See if she like
them. What kind of dog you have?
She a Staffordshire Bull Terrier mix with American Bully.
How old?
She turns 2 in October.
Most of your teammates have dogs. Now, what we learned last week with Deshaun Bishop is he's a cat guy.
I did not know that.
Deshaun's a quiet guy.
No, for sure. He's my roommate at the hotel.
On the road games?
Mm-hmm.
Have you cracked that armor a little bit?
No, we were talking from time to time, but he always got his headphones on. So
he had them on last week when we were out here.
Yeah.
He just didn't have his ears.
Yeah, he always got his headphones on. But now he talked more than people think, though.
What do we think about his game?
He a dog. I always tell him he run like a pit bull. Like,
actually, that's a good description.
Yeah, like, every time he touched the ball, he's not trying to get tackled. I remember, like, was it Kent State? Like, the first play, it was like a 35-yard run right up the middle. Nobody touched him. So, like, I feel like if you asked the question earlier, like, who is somebody in the next year that's going to really shock a lot of people? He's going to shock a lot of people this year. Like, even though Samp is the starting back, he's still coming in behind him and getting quality reps and making big plays.
That's another room that's deeper than most people realize.
For sure.
Just because they were inexperienced before the season started.
Yeah.
Just because Peyton hadn't played and Cam really had been injured and played a little bit last year. Deshaun hadn't played.
Yeah, he got like five backs in there. They all can go.
Tight end room's deep.
Yeah. Three-headed monster, for sure.
What do you think? Do you hate when they call 12 personnel? Or you're like, God, 12 personnel.
For me personally, I play outside receiver, so 12 personnel, I know I'm going to be in a game. It's a high chance I'm going to get the ball, so yeah. I like 12
You personnel. Like 12 personnel.
That's like most times, if we're not going to be in the passing, but if it's not a – if it's a run play with 12 personnel, we got more people that can block.
Block, yeah.
So if we got an RPO tag, it's a higher chance to get a ball. So we work hand-in-hand.
Favorite route to run?
Go ball.
Just a straight go?
Yep. Actually, a post. With no safety, though. Cover zero. They're running the post.
You looking forward to this Arkansas game?
For sure. I ain't going to
You like road games?
I do. I really do like road games.
You know they're going to call the Hogs.
I know. And then they're going to say the Woo Pig Suey thing.
Yeah. You know what? It always cracks me up when opposing fans are like, God, I hate Rocky Top. And I'm like, do you really think people want to hear Boomer Sooner, Boomer Sooner? I mean, like, it's part of the tradition, right? Like, that's what they do. You got to respect it. They're going to call the Hogs at Arkansas. And
they hear Rocky Top more than Boomer Sooner.
Georgia's going to bark at you.
That's crazy. I heard they throw dog food at people. I just heard it. I won't know until I get there. Yeah, I heard that.
But you welcome it.
They better not throw no dog food at
no,
me.
No, but I mean, you welcome the chance to go in there and play.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, nobody wants dog food thrown at them. Come on.
Like, since I've been here, that's the biggest game that's the one game I always look forward to because when I was at Oregon, we lost to them bad. So I feel like that's my chance to get revenge from that year. So, yeah.
I'm excited
for that game.
When it's all done, what's your memories going to be?
Like my memories with Tennessee or just?
Yeah.
I say coming here has changed my life a lot. Like both, I guess you say both positive and negative ways at times. But I say I'm very grateful and thankful for coming here. Like God had a plan for me and I thought the plan was for me to be at Oregon my whole college career and then go to the NFL from there. But it was some chips and bumps in the road that led me here. And I say with this year being how it's been so far, God has everything working for me the way it's supposed to be. So I'm forever be grateful for the opportunity to be able to come here and then just grateful for everybody who I've met here that impacted my life.
And at the end of the day, just remember, have fun.
For sure.
He is Dante Thornton, and we appreciate you coming out on this week's Ball Club Confidential.
Oh, yeah, no problem, man. I appreciate y'all for having me.
Appreciate you coming in, man. Thank you.